Still okay, Christy? Okay. It's just probably that I'm not used to it. I've always said the reason I don't like to wear this kind of a microphone is because I'm afraid I'll forget to turn it off when it's time to sing and nobody wants to hear that. So there we go. We'll wait for Lynn Ann to come back in and then we'll get started. You don't, we don't want to hear you either. We should sit beside each other then. I'll blame you and you can blame me. Yeah. We think that it's possible, can I tell him this? We think it's possible that if Justin's daughter can work it into her schedule and things work out for her, that she might come and sing for us some Wednesday night. So that would be really cool. Yeah, we'll see. All right, well, welcome to this Lenten service. We, of course, are glad to be here, even though it is a small group. It's good to be together to worship. Many important things have taken place on Wednesdays. The very first Glee Club was formed at Harvard University on Wednesday, February 8th, 1843. It set the stage for collegiate musical traditions that still thrive today. Wednesday, July 11th, 1899 was the birthday of E.B. White, who became the author of Charlotte's Web and Stuart Little. I assume most of us have read that to somebody. His work defined the word wholesome for generations of readers. On Wednesday morning, July 16, 1969, the Apollo 11 mission began when the Saturn V rocket blasted off from the Kennedy Space Center. And that liftoff eventually did put Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on the moon, changing our perspective on the universe forever. Those Wednesday events and many others may be interesting to us, but they have no direct effect on our spiritual lives. However, one Wednesday event began the final steps of the most important event in the lives of Christians. April 1st, 33 AD, sometimes termed Spy Wednesday, is acknowledged as the day Judas Iscariot agreed to betray Jesus. So as we worship on this Wednesday night, we do honor Jesus Christ, whose acceptance of the cross brought us the opportunity to receive salvation. Let's stand up and... Thank you. Our call to worship is a responsive reading from a hymn written by Thomas Kelly. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. The highest place that heaven affords is his by sovereign right, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and heaven's eternal light. And let's pray together. Father God, there is so much to learn about your story and the history of our Christian faith. Some of the things we learn may seem to be just minor trivia, and many things are simply beyond our reach to understand. May we realize that we really just can't understand all of the mystery of you, but help us to accept that your word is truth, and our requirements are simply to trust and worship you. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Yell at me. Well, it's good evening. And I'm proud of you. You're moving to the front row, and I kind of like to hang out in the back too, so don't. So you may have seen the title that I talked with Becky about. And it's kind of loud. Move it down here a little bit. And I titled it, try not to be hard-headed, or I think maybe it's in the bulletin, it's the hard-headed ones, and you're probably thinking, what in the world? And I'll get into my scripture that I picked, but oftentimes, and I know we have hindsight of 2020 because the Bible was written 2,000 years ago, and we get to read it, and I'm like, why did they not get that? Why are they so hard-headed, or why are they hard learners? My Bible study on Tuesday nights, we call them hard learners. And we're in Acts, and all through the Gospels, there was many, many accounts of what I think is them being hard learners, and like, why don't they get it? And this, I chose the scripture from Mark, and I'm actually going to go back a little bit into, I think I put 45 through 53, but previous to that, Jesus fed the 5,000, and we'll talk about it. I'm not going to read all of that word for word, but, once again, they're kind of hard learners or hard-headed, because Jesus can do anything, and amen for that, and the grace of God that he has for us. But during that feeding of the 5,000, apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves in a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away, and all the people kept coming and coming. We'll skip on down. But by this time and late in the day, his disciples came to him. This is a remote place. And they said, it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. And they're looking at him like, they said to him, that would take more than a half year's wages, and we're to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat. Well, how many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. So we know that Jesus was able to feed them. He directed them to have the people sit down in the groups in the green grass. And they sat down in the groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke those loaves. He gave them to his disciples and distributed to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and bread and fish. And the number of men and women had eaten was over 5,000. And they're still in awe here, like, we can't do this, we don't have enough money. And I look back like, and these people have been with Jesus for 3 years. How can you not believe Jesus, right? You know, they're, anyway, and further on it gets into Jesus walks on water. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead to him and to Bethsaida, and he dismissed the crowd. And after leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. And later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. And he saw his disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking in the lake, they thought it was a ghost. Hard-headed again. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. And when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they had heard he was, and wherever he went, into villages and towns and countryside. They placed the sick in the marketplaces, and they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. And I thought, okay, here Jesus just fed 5,000 people. They go out on the boat, storm comes, and he's walking on water. And maybe, you know, it'd be awfully, probably throw you for a loop to see somebody walking on the water, but I would think they could clearly tell it was Jesus. Maybe I'm wrong. I wasn't there, obviously, 2,000 years ago. But, I mean, they know this man can do about anything. He just literally fed 5,000 people hours before this with two fish and 5 loaves of bread. And here he is walking on the water. So they're doubting him. And to me, it just seems to me that probably a little bit hard learners, maybe hard-headed. I've been hard-headed before. I don't know if any of you guys have, but my wife would probably tell you, which she wasn't able to make it today, but she'd probably tell you that I'm quite a bit hard-headed, but and my son would definitely tell you that. But sometimes we do things the hard way or become hard learners, if you will. If you get down and out or frustrated, sometimes people, and most of the time myself, we forget to give it to God. And I got a wife at home that definitely reminds me, "Have you prayed about it, Justin?" "No, not yet." Thank you for reminding me that I am also a hard learner and can be hard-headed, and sometimes it takes multiple times for you to remind me of that. We've been married 20 years, but dating since the 7th grade. So we've had a lot of instances of me probably being a hard learner, if you ask her. But we have the ability to have 20/20 hindsight vision, both in today's world and looking back at the Bible. It was written almost 2,000 years ago. We know how amazing our Lord and Savior is, but we can be hard to let it sink in or to put it to action. Last week, we used the Bible verse from Corinthians to be ambassadors of God. And sometimes it's hard to put it into action, or we feel like we can be a little bit hard learners ourselves. And one of my favorite songs is by Zach Williams and Dolly Parton. It's titled, "There Was Jesus." I put a couple here from the verses. It says, "When I tried to make it on my own, there was Jesus. The lonely roads I have traveled, there was Jesus. Life things happen that set us back, there was Jesus." Get the theme. "I didn't see it then, but realize it now, there was Jesus." And my daughter has a huge love affair with Dolly Parton. She just thinks she's the best thing on earth. And but I've always loved that song, and it is so true. When we give everything to him, He walks us through there. He's always going to be there. But sometimes it's going to be, it takes us a little bit to fully grasp that. Sometimes we're hard learners and can be a challenge. We have to open our eyes and to focus on Jesus to get us through life troubles and life's victories as well. And sometimes it's we have to give it to him to help us through those victories just as much as the troubles. Because we don't want to be prideful, and sometimes it's hard. And I bet each and every one of us in this room could admit that we can be stubborn, hard learners at times. And I look back and through the Bible, and when I was reading, the apostles were hard learners as well. And they got to spend 3 years walking side by side with Jesus during his ministry, and yet they didn't fully understand his teachings until after Jesus died on the cross and his defeat of death from the tomb. And maybe that was Jesus' plan the whole time, to, you know, as the learning and everything culminated. I don't know. But as we sit there, like in our men's Bible study, and none of us are Bible scholars, we're sitting there, how do they not get it? How do they not get it? Even when Jesus was telling them, I'm going to die, and I'm going to come back, and they still didn't get it. And still at the time he was getting to the cross, they still didn't get it. Pulled a verse from Mark 6, 52, for they had not understood about the loaves, because this heart was hardened. Shows their lack of spiritual insight. From Matthew 16, 8 through 12, Jesus called them, O ye of little faith, for worrying about food immediately after witnessing the miracle of the loaves. They didn't get it. Luke 9, 44 through 45, when Jesus spoke of his impending death, they did not understand this saying, and it was hidden from them, and they were afraid to ask him. Mark 8, 17 through 21, Jesus asked them, do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And he's really calling them out. Like I said, these guys got to spend 3 years with him, and I can't imagine getting to walk with Jesus all that time, how amazing that had to be. But yet, I sit here and wonder, you know, as I read it today, how clear the signs were of everything he was trying to tell them. And yes, Jesus taught in parables, so maybe it was a little challenging. Maybe they didn't quite understand, but as I sit here looking, I'm like, I've been that hard-headed. I've not got it before. In John 16, 17 through 18, the disciples confess confusion, asking one another, what is this he says to us? We do not know what he talks about. And like I said, back to, I just don't get it sometimes. In Luke 24, 25, after the resurrection, Jesus calls them foolish ones and slow of heart to believe that the prophets have spoken. And yeah, like I said, take it how you will, and as you read through it, different things hit me different ways, but when Jesus asked his disciples to provide food for over 5,000 people, they asked in astonishment, should we go spend our wages? And they just didn't get it, I guess. You know, and he does this one other time, that I think that account shows feeding of 4,000, but whether he's feeding four or five, it doesn't really matter to me. We know that Jesus is amazing and can do wonderful things. Then Luke, from that 24 or 25 verse, even though these Jewish men knew that the biblical prophecies well, they failed to understand that Christ's suffering was his path to glory. They could not understand why God had not intervened to save Jesus from the cross. And I thank God every day that he went to the cross for us. He wrote a blank check for each and every one of us. And how amazing is his grace in him being willing to go to that cross for us, even though his people didn't understand. And as I sit there, and it can be hard to understand why someone that didn't know me today, I mean, even though we know he knew us, 2,000 years ago goes to a cross for us. And his grace is absolutely amazing. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand as we repeat the Lord's Prayer this time. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let's have our song. For our benediction tonight, I share these words found in Galatians 6:18 that Paul used to end his letter to the Galatians and then eventually to us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.